Bantam Doubleday Dell Audio Publishing presents Star Wars, We Don't Do Weddings, The Band's Tale, a dramatization of the short story by Kathy Tyers.
Fanfar case. Quick, we've got to get out of here.
It was next to your music
stand. Quiet!
You better shut up or we'll wake you-know-who.
Sorry, Doink. You know I left it here somewhere.
Jabba the Hutt's smoky presence room stank of spilled intoxicants and sweaty body armor. It was hot on Tatooine, as usual, and Jabba's temp exchanger needed repair, also as usual. Guards and henchmen, dancers and bounty hunters, humans and Jawas all lay where they had toppled, crumpled under arches or piled in semi-private cubicles. On the dais sat the bloated terror himself, burbling as he snored. The presence room's portcullis yawned open. That portcullis bothers me, especially when we want to leave in a hurry. And Figrin was taking forever cleaning his crew horn.
Just another all-nighter at Jabba's place, eh, Doink?
We've got to split before that core-forsaken inner gate comes down.
You're telling me.
Oh, what are you worried about, Nalen? Jabba loves us.
Sure he does. He also likes controlling credit.
And inflicting pain.
Either of which he digs more than anything you play on that clue horn of yours, Figrin.
Oh, listen, Jabba's as good a fan as we'll ever get.
We are Figrin Dan and the Modal Nodes. Members in good standing of the Intergalactic Federation of Musicians. And we are Jabba the Hutt's exclusive swing band.
Well, I guess it beats having him as an enemy.
I'll grant you that. That's my case.
Shut up!
Shh! Probably left it down in front.
Knock it off! You're gonna get us killed!
I could swear I put it down over there.
Hey, lost and found. Here it is.
Oh!
Slip down behind the stage. Now can we move?
Oh, thanks, Doink.
Fortunately, the fat slug is a sound sleeper. Jabba is the richest crime lord on Tatooine, and he pays us all right. The real problem is, you never know when he's going to decide to flay you, just for fun. Or feed you to the Rancor. Jabba's parties are famous all across the Outer Rim territories. He would as soon give up roast bantha as go without his own private band. But I must say, I never thought he had much of an ear for music. In fact, I never spotted his ears at all. His fat, blotchy tail always twitched in rhythm when we played. Only it wasn't our rhythm. It was always his. We are Biff. Our high, hairless craniums manifest a superior evolutionary level, and our mouth folds pucker into a splendid embouchure for wind instruments. We perceive sounds as precisely as other species perceive color. Back on Clactor 7, there must be 100 small groups as good as the Modal Nodes, but here on Tatooine, we're special. Which is why Jabba wouldn't let us out of his clutches. Always one for impressing the guests, that Jabba.
Okay, Biff. Tech, keep your eyes open.
Huh? What?
Doink, give him a hand there, will you?
In a second.
I've got it, Doink. Let's hit the...
Instruments in hand, we managed to get out of Jabba's presence room without incident and proceeded to the marble entrance hall. Tedden and Ichabel were still arguing over the fanfare cases. I never thought we needed both of them for the music we play, but it's Figrin's band and he owns most of the instruments as well. That's because he wins them in friendly little sabacc games.
Watch it!
You know, Figren, this Omnibox is a pain in the neck.
Yeah, but it sounds great.
Oh, you're just
my fizz. You symphonic ridge brows would call it a Durinian Beshnequel, but we do jizz. My fizz slips into a thin case in less time than it takes to roll an Imperial inspector and check his pockets for credit vouchers. And it's no trouble to carry. Nalan's Banfill is cumbersome, and the Omnibox, which Tech operates, is a real headache. Tech, who doesn't say much and always has a glazed gleam in his eye, has hated Figren ever since he won the Omni off him.
Ugh, that's a hut and a half.
Shh, watch your language, Nalan.
State your business.
Figren, Dan, and the band.
When we reached the outer portcullis, it was down, and I have to say I was worried. A half dozen Gamorreans lay sleeping around the reception area, but the fourth-class security droid on duty must have been expecting us because he hardly made us wait. He appeared to glower suspiciously, though, as he extended a stubby armature towards the gate lift interlock and the heavy steel grating began to rise.
Come on, Tech. On three. One, two...
Go ahead, Nalan.
Three.
Now, keep close, Ted. I'd like to get home before the first sunrise, if you don't mind.
Outside, it was a little bit cooler, but it looked like the day was going to be a typical Tatooine scorcher.
I call that luck.
Go ahead and get Tech into the land speeder, Doik. I'll put this in back.
We got Nalan and Tech loaded into a cab right away. There probably wouldn't be another one along for hours. Ichabel and Tedden headed off toward their place on foot, lugging their fanfars. Figren's fanfars, I should say. That left just the two of us standing there, waiting for the next hover bus. Figren's sweaty forehead glistened in the moonlight. I clutched my fizz tightly and stared out into the darkness.
Hey, Doik.
Yeah?
I had a shot lip, as humans call it. I was in no mood for foolishness.
Got time for a friendly hand of sabacc?
I don't gamble, Figren, you know that.
That's why I made you manager, Doik.
A lot of good it does. You never listen to a word I say.
On matters of policy, no. In day-to-day affairs, I trust you completely. Sure you don't want to come into town with me?
Sorry. Gotta go soak my lip.
Figren brushed the sheen off his head with one knobby hand.
You're thermal, Doik.
And you're compulsive, I wanted to say, but I just said...
I'd rather hang on to my money, Figren, and my instrument.
Well,
I'm the band's straight man, and except for Figren, perhaps, I'm the only real musician in the lot. I've carried that sweet little fizz through six systems. I peg it when it cracks and lube it when the keys click. I carve my own reeds. I wasn't betting it on any sabacc match. Not even to placate fiery Figren Dan, a band leader who criticizes every missed note, owns everybody else's instrument, and isn't shy about giving orders.
I still say you're thermal, Doik.
All musicians are thermal.
You're thermal for a musician. Whoever heard of a bander who didn't gamble?
I don't gamble, Figren. You know that.
A smoky silhouette emerged from behind Jabba's palace and began rolling along the pavement in our direction. The droid's wasp waist and squared-off head were immediately recognizable.
Figren, turn around. Slowly.
Huh? Wyatt's
sight. E-5-2-2. And he's not wearing a restraining bolt.
He's coming for us. Why'd you have to get him in trouble with Jabba, Doik?
I didn't mean to. Run! Wait a minute. He hasn't started firing at us yet.
And you know what they say about assassin droids. Never worry about one you can see.
Early morning greetings, Figren Dan, Doik Nath.
Greetings, E5-2-2.
Don't be alarmed.
Huh? Look out, Doik!
The droid raised his upper limbs. Both ended at elbow joints. Somebody had disengaged his business parts. But that probably didn't leave him helpless. Assassin droids carry backup.
All of my weapons have been removed.
Really?
Nice to hear it.
My assassination programming has been erased as well.
All for the best, buddy.
I can confirm that for my part. My new employer saved me from deconstruction by using me this way.
You mean you're not working for Jabba anymore?
That is correct, Doik Nath. After he fed me to the Rancor, in your place, as you doubtless recall...
Wait a minute. Some of your memory must have been erased as well. That human falsely accused me of eating freckled toads out of Jabba's private snack tank.
That is true.
Ah, the voice of reason. I've always gotten along better with droids than with most sentients. Particularly humans.
I appreciated you backing me up back there. What happened next had nothing to do with me.
Jabba wanted a victim.
Jabba always wants a victim. Justice would have suggested throwing in the human.
Jabba and Justice are not on speaking terms. You know that. And his entire court was urging him on.
I had no part in it.
Hey, it just about broke my heart when they smeared you with meat juice and dropped you in the Rancor's pit.
Indeed. When the wretched beast finally spat me out, my weaponry was beyond repair.
That must have been quite a disappointment.
Yes, it was quite a shock.
What kind of work are you in now?
Message delivery. I have a communication for Figrin Dan.
Well, what do you know?
Shh!
Who from?
Lady Valerian.
Lady Valerian, Val to her friends, was a tusked-mouthed whippet who had only recently arrived on Tatooine. She had quickly become a key player in the spaceport town of Mos Eisley, and she was second to none, except Jabba, in most of the usual enterprises. Gambling, weapon running, peddling information.
What does Lady Valerian want with me, then?
She wishes to hire your services for a wedding to be held in Mos Eisley at her flagship establishment, the Lucky Despot Hotel.
But we...
Now, Doik! I know what you are going to say.
That's right.
What is that?
We don't do weddings.
But Lady Valerian will
it's
pay you
It's a matter
well.
Of policy.
But there will be food and drink.
A wedding gig wastes 2 days.
3 days with some species.
And
you're
you...
treated like a recording, told to extend a perfectly fine processional, and to play some impossible final chord as the principals arrive center stage, if they ever arrive.
But...
Someone always brings a screaming neonate, and the guests inebriate themselves until no one hears a note.
I can assure you this will be a
For
first
all of
class
this,
event.
You get half pay and full satisfaction. You've helped perpetuate a species.
So you see, the answer is no.
Who is the lucky gent, E5?
Lady Valerian has procured a mate from her home world.
It was a good thing I wasn't drinking. I'd have choked.
Another whippet?
The only thing uglier than a hut is a whippet. I tried to imagine another gargantuan, yellow-tusked whippet arriving on Tatooine.
Valerian probably promised him luxury accommodations and good hunting.
Wait till he sees Mos Eisley.
This job is for the reception only. Lady Valerian offers your band 3,000 credits.
3,000 credits? Why, I could start my own... Oh, what am I saying? No!
Transport and lodging provided. Unlimited meals and drinks at the hotel during your stay. And free run of the place during your breaks, of course.
Sabacc tables?
No, Figrin.
Except while performing, certainly.
Don't forget our exclusive contract with Jabba.
Comped to the eyeballs.
All the way.
Jabba won't like it. And when Jabba frowns, somebody dies.
Well then, let's go someplace we can talk.
I tried to buzz my mouthfuls to get Figrin's attention, but his sublime vision didn't deal me in. He was already dreaming of being dealt a fool's array, or of coming up 23 at one of Lady Val's Sabacc tables. He wasn't listening to me.
Figrin, no!
We flew into Mos Eisley later that day, during first twilight, with one of the suns dipping behind a dull, murky horizon. Our transport skimmed through the decaying southern sector, chauffeured by an orange service droid.
Arrival at the Lucky Despot Hotel in 5 minutes.
Sentient shadows slipped into darkening corners as we drove past.
Not much to look at, is it?
Huh? Oh, hi, Nalan. Mos Eisley, you mean? No, it certainly isn't.
Looks like a bunch of sand dunes.
Don't be fooled. There are people living in there.
In there?
Mm-hmm. See? Look.
Jawas.
Every species in the galaxy blows through this town at one time or another.
You really wouldn't know it to look at this place.
The name of the game in Mos Eisley is camouflage. No one sees you, no one shoots at you.
Or testifies against you in local courts.
That sounds like a warning, Figrin.
Hey, Figrin.
It is. And law enforcement's even worse.
Spoken like a band leader.
Yeah, you better watch your back in this sandbox, that's what I say.
If only he stuck to his own rules.
Doik!
I must admit, I'm curious to see this hotel. I've heard it's a pretty fancy joint.
Well, you
I couldn't help wondering what Jabba would think when we didn't show up for our usual pre-dinner set.
Oh, see there? That's the center of town.
That'd be just about any minute now. And with his network of touts and petty informers, it wouldn't be long before Jabba knew exactly where we were. This gig was supposed to take 2 days. After that, if there was an after that, I figured I'd get off Tatooine as quickly as possible.
Oh, look at that.
Well, that must be it.
3 stories above one of Mos Eisley's nameless streets, twin beacons blinked like ship lamps, and brilliant yellow beams glowed out of a wide-open entry hatch.
The Lucky Despot Hotel, on your right. Please remain seated during docking procedures. Thank you.
But it's just an old cargo hauler.
That's right. A group of investors towed it up here. Lady Val's not one of them. She just runs the place. From what I've heard, most of her backers are in shipping.
Well, who else would want to sink their credits on Tatooine?
Quite literally, huh?
Debris blown in by a recent sandstorm lay clumped along the cargo hauler's near side, which had been starboard. Antenna cluster wreckage drooped over what must have been the cockpit.
It's not a bad idea when you think about it. It's a cheap way to get rid of an old hulk.
And it probably pulls back in every credit the investors pay their crews. It's a good idea, actually. But what
a piece of junk!
Our transport settled at the foot of a long, curving ramp which led up from street level into the main entry of the casino.
Disembark, please, gentle.
We unloaded our gear from the transport's cargo compartment onto a repulsor cart. Mos Eisley's odors, ship fuels, rancid food, low-tech industrial haze, and the sheer desensitizing smell of hot sand hung in the sullen air.
Ooh, now this is class.
Where do we go?
Tedden, stay close. I guess it's this way.
Once inside the lobby, we blinked as our eyes adjusted to the bright lights. An orange-suited human security guard slouched in a corner. No sign of Lady Val. Mentally, I recategorized her. She must trust droids, but clearly she equated musicians with kitchen help. I walked over to the reception desk.
Excuse me. We are Figrin Dan and the Modal Nodes.
This way, please.
Another orange service droid whisked us past an extremely attractive front desk person, species unknown to me, whose multifaceted eyes glistened prettily. A long, vast room filled a third of the X-ship's upper deck. Reflective black bulkheads and a shiny black floor enveloped several dozen sparsely populated tables. But more than one table tottered on damaged legs. Here and there, white strips showed through the peeling black bulkhead.
The Star Chamber Cafe, gentles.
Interesting space. It's big anyway.
Where's the casino?
We regret that the hotel does not yet possess a gambling license.
What?
And our equipment?
You will find your luggage on stage. It has been a pleasure to assist you, gentles. Now, if you will excuse me.
Now, wait!
E5 promised me there'd be Sabacc. Of all the lowdown.
Oh, take it easy, Grin. The droid is just stating house policy.
And you know how far one can trust that. Come on, Tech. I'll help you set up the Omnibox.
Tedden, don't go wandering off. I'm right behind you.
Our stuff had arrived in good order, and we got it out and tuned up in no time at all. As soon as Nalem finished setting up his band fill, we launched into a swinging little number just to get an idea of the room's acoustics. Figrin still wasn't sure if he had been taken in regarding the gambling. He was holding back, but that's often best for the rest of us. My fizz sounded ever so sweet, and Tedden and Ichabel were really together. Figrin finally stepped out, I began to look the crowd over. The seated patrons were mostly well-dressed party-bound types, more interested in their own conversations than in what was happening on stage. It was harder to tell about the group over by the bar, a mixed bag of spacers, dealers in information, and stolen goods from every corner of the galaxy. They seemed quiet and appreciative, but I figured that was only because they weren't drunk yet. I didn't see any of Jabba's gang among them, so I relaxed a bit. The early diners clapped, clicked their claws, or snapped their mandibles in polite approval. Satisfied that all was as it should be, we set down our instruments and headed for an empty dinner table.
Nalen, you and Tech sit over there. Doik, here.
I'm starving.
Don't push, Tech. I suppose that means we sit over here.
Your orders, please, gentles.
I'll have the Gimmer stick soup, followed by stewed womp.
Number three?
Number three, with the soup.
Within minutes, the light show began. A comet whizzed past Figrin's head. It was marvelously real. A swirling dwarf nebula appeared over the entrance to the room and playfully chased a well-dressed female Twi'lek to her seat. Constellations appeared beneath the ceiling and were reflected in my soup.
Quite a show, eh, Nalen?
I've never seen anything like it. Extraordinary.
Holographic Sabacc spreads flickered into existence over several tables.
Ah, now that's more like it.
What did we tell you, Figrin?
Doubters be blasted. Lady Valerian's all right by me.
Here's to her.
The story is, it's Jabba who's been causing her all the trouble.
What trouble?
Well, apparently he bribed authorities to hold up the Lucky Despot's gambling license.
Why doesn't that surprise me?
Yeah, so Valerian has to hide her gaming equipment till after dark, right?
Right.
Then Jabba turns right around and sells her information regarding planned police raids.
Sounds like Jabba.
Anyone want something more to eat, Figrin? No? It's delicious, all of this. I'd like a little dessert.
Well, I think I'm fine, actually. I guess I'll catch y'all later.
Figrin finished his meal quickly. Ichabel, Tech, and Tedden ordered desserts while Nalen and I finished the wine. As Figrin wandered away, he pulled out his Sabacc deck. Tonight he would lose, on purpose.
You want to join us, Nalen?
We'll keep the stakes low.
When Nalen and Tech finally abandoned me, I headed over to the bar. It was no less crowded than the dining and gaming area, although the patrons here were generally less well-dressed or still in working attire. There was the usual mix of Tatooine types, Chadra Fahn and Tals and Sand People, seasoned spacers and Rodian bounty hunters seeking work or some quarry.
Excuse me. Mighty noisy in there.
I suppose that would get to you. Here, step on up.
Could I have a mug of
I found
water,
a bored-looking Kubaz wearing a green cape which set off his natural greenish-black coloration to uncommon effect.
Are you with the band?
Mm-hmm.
It figures. You being a Bith, I mean.
Kubaz make excellent security staff. Their long, prehensile noses discern scents the way Bith distinguish pitch and timbre, and their coloration blends into every shadow.
Then, if I don't miss my guess, you must be a detective.
Let's say I'm insecurity.
Insecurity? That's a good one.
It's an old one, too.
Here's your lum.
Yeah, put it on the house, will you, please? I'm with the band. Would you like another one?
Sure.
No problem. Oh, bartender, let me have another one, will you? So, I guess you know the one about the Kubaz private investigator?
Which one? I know them all. My father was in the same line of work, and so was his father before him. It's the nose, of course.
Remarkable indeed.
Yes.
I've heard that the Kubaz sense of smell is as acute or more so than Bith hearing.
That could very well be. Although I admit I have no idea how one could test such a proposition.
An interesting question indeed.
And another lum over here.
Thank you, bartender.
And thank you. On Kubindi, we serve it with a twist of fresh sun beetle.
Really?
Indeed. You ought to try it sometime. But this isn't bad at all.
Hmm. She seems to know her way around, this Lady Valerian.
That she does.
It must have taken some doing for her to find a whippet who wanted to come and live here on Tatooine.
I do not think she found it all that difficult. While you might find the toothpaste to be unattractive in the extreme, and let me add that if you think they smell bad, for me it is far, far worse. On her homeworld, Lady Valerian is considered one of the age's great beauties.
Is that so?
Indeed.
Actually, I was thinking more about the monotony of life in an out-of-the-way spaceport like Mos Eisley.
Why? The Lucky Despot is not a bad place, is it?
Not at all. Oh, but you must be working for her, of course. I'm sorry.
It's quite all right. After all, you're working for her, too.
Yes, I am. But I didn't mean to put you in a difficult position.
Not at all. Anyway, you clearly haven't met Lord Duat.
No, I haven't. I haven't met Lady Valerian, either.
Ah, I see. She's been busy with preparations for the wedding.
I'm sure she has. We were brought in by droids. I have nothing against them, you understand. But, well, you're the first sentient I've met since this job began.
Lady Valerian's a first-rate employer, and a wonderful warm creature besides. You can take it from me. What did you say your name was?
Doiknath. I play the Fizz.
Ah, just call me Thwim. It's a lot easier than my real name.
All right, Thwim. Pleased to meet you.
Lord Duop's a real prince, too. A great hunter, of course, even by Whippet standards.
He must be looking forward to trying his skill here on Tatooine.
He's already been scouting the terrain south of the spaceport.
Really? But isn't that a bit close to Jabba's territory?
Everything on Tatooine is too close to Jabba's territory.
I know about that.
Oh?
We were playing at Jabba's palace up until today.
Really? And he let you come here just like that?
No.
But you are here nonetheless.
Yes, we are.
So you see, things may be changing, no?
Perhaps.
The happy couple plans to spend its honeymoon hunting Krayt Dragon. That may mean crossing some of Jabba's territory. We'll see what happens then.
Uh-huh. I began to feel a twinge of what might be called anxiety. Thinking about Jabba always has that effect on me. For a moment, I toyed with the idea that this too would pass. Once I had my hands on my share of those 3,000 credits, I would head straight for the spaceport myself, and I wouldn't come back.
Everything has a price, however, as you probably know.
Of course. That's lesson number one with Jabba.
And I know
the Lumicron over the bar said that it was an hour past second twilight. By now, Jabba would have noticed our absence. Figrin had found another band to fill in for us, of course, a fusion group with a strong Bith rhythm section. But who could tell how the fat slug would react? Of course, he wouldn't know where we had gone. For a while, at least.
But you're not expecting any of them to come to the wedding.
What, Jabba's people? We'll probably see one or two of them, but that's not exactly my department. Invitations. I can check for you, though.
Thanks. Hey, look, I've got to run.
Just give me a standard...
Thwim began hunting in one of the pockets of his voluminous green cape, but I was already halfway back to the gaming area. I weaseled through the crowd to Figrin's table. Fortunately, our cunning leader had just lost big time. A Duro shuffled the Sabacc deck, scattering and regathering the card tiles with a deft gray hand. I tugged at Figrin's sleeve.
Finish up. Bad news.
Now, if you'll pardon me a moment.
He excused himself droopily and arose. It takes twice as long to cross a room when you keep looking over your shoulder, but that's what I did. If Jabba's people were welcome at the Lucky Despot, there was no telling when our presence here would become public knowledge, or at the very least, information for sale. Jabba pays well for mayhem.
Just keep looking down, Figrin. We're likely to be spotted at any time. Come on over this way. The place is probably crawling with Jabba's people.
What? We found a dark corner to one side of the gaming area, and I dropped the bad news on him. Figrin's eyes seemed to have shrunk. Was he spicing already, or just faking it really well?
That may be. But we've got to get out of here fast.
If we take off now, the newlyweds will spend their honeymoon Bith hunting. And when they catch us, it won't be pretty.
Excellent point.
And we're going to need Lady Val's money to survive until our next gig.
I'm not so sure we're going to survive this one.
Well, besides, I'm losing.
I thought you planned it that way.
Oh, yes. And I have the suckers right where I want them.
Well, perhaps it's time to start winning.
Yeah, I was going to wait a little longer, you know, let them think I was desperate. Seems like a waste, but I guess I'd better get back to the band.
Light show reflections wobbled back and forth on Figren's head as he shook it disappointedly.
We'll have to get off planet as soon as this business is over.
I like the sound of that.
I'm ready for bigger crowds again.
Even if the gigs aren't so regular, it'll be good to be out there in the competition.
Yeah, there'll be richer sabbat tables, too. Somebody better keep watch tonight. Did I hear you volunteer?
Sure. I'll take the first shift. And I'll talk to Naylan about it, too.
So the spicing act was just that, an act. I went out to the reception area in the lobby thinking I might find the dewy-eyed receptionist, but she had been replaced by a muscular Weequay with an unusually long topknot. I left a message for Naylan so he'd be sure to find me before turning in. Then I went back to the bar to hang out. The next morning, the band set up, bleary-eyed, in the Star Chamber Cafe. Shortly after breakfast, wedding guests started prancing, oozing, and just plain staggering into the Despot's lounge area, where the ceremony was to take place.
All right, not bad, Naylan. Maybe we'll get through this set okay. Ooh, no, Ted, that's awful. Take it again. Not like that. That's better. There you go. Again. That was a bit better, I guess.
While I took it easy, sipping hot Florizel at a table next to the door, I tried to imagine what a whipped wedding must be like. Did they osculate, lock tusks, or shout battle cries at the climactic moment? Just then, I spotted a familiar triangular face crossing the front lobby in my direction.
Oh, space, no.
Not a friendly face, mind you, but a familiar one. Kodu Terrafin pilots Jabba's courier run between palace and townhouse. He's Arcona. Dressed in a spacer's coverall, he looks like a dirt brown snake with clawed arms and legs and a large anvil-shaped head. I buried my face in my cup of tea as he slithered past. Just when I thought the danger was gone, Kodu turned and came straight toward me.
Figuring, is it?
The bulbous organ between Kodu's faceted yellow-green eyes twitched, and his tongue flicked.
Not quite.
Oh, Doik! Of course, I'm sorry. I recognize the voice.
I'm flattered, I guess.
I have information for sale. Which one is Figuring?
I glanced at the stage where Figuren was busy rehearsing a couple of numbers with Tech and Naylan and the two fanfars.
The one in front.
Figuren plays the clue like a Jedi master, but as a bandleader, he's just short of the dark side. I looked back over at the Arcona.
It's not a good time.
I don't want to stay. Do you want to buy? You better.
10?
I knew Figuren would cover that much if the news was worth hearing. Kodu's nose and tongue registered a cluster of Jawas hurrying by, headed for the wedding.
100.
100?
That's right.
Oh, that's impossible. We don't have that kind of money to throw around, Kodu. I could give you 15, tops.
This concerns all 6 of you. Perhaps you should speak to the others. How about 10 apiece?
Oh, not unless I go around and ask each of them. I thought you were in a hurry. How's about half that?
This is first-hand, very fresh information. It's worth more than that.
35. That's it. End of story.
All right.
Put your card there.
Kodu aligned his credit card with mine, and we effected the transfer.
It's about... Jabba.
Okay.
He's angry.
Jabba's always angry. I hope you don't think that news is...
You skipped out on your contract. Jabba had a most important guest last night. He was most disappointed that you let him down.
We got another band to cover for us. Not as good as we are, perhaps.
Jabba noticed.
That's about the worst compliment anyone could receive.
Moreover, Jabba's guest noticed.
Oh?
The head of one of the greatest smugglers guilds in the galaxy, and a real music lover. He told Jabba that his band didn't know an A flat from a Q diminished.
I see. What did Jabba do?
She fed two guards to the Rancor.
Oh!
And promised to pay anyone who hauled you back to the palace extremely well.
Yes, I see. Well, I don't suppose you're going to try.
This is not my business. What do you think I am? I am not a bounty hunter. I am Arcona.
I didn't mean to suggest the contrary, of course.
So it was goodbye to that little band I was hoping to start up back home. Goodbye, IFM Retirement Village. I'd left a sentimental mother at the bubbling pink swamps of Clackdoor 7. She missed her musical son.
Thanks, Kodu. Like they say, it's been great.
Goodbye, George. Good luck.
Right.
Luck? Either we slipped out of Jabba's range fast, or there wouldn't be any luck left for any one of us. Kodu was already halfway across the lobby, on his way to report to Jabba, no doubt. I headed quickly back toward the stage. Figrin and the others had finished rehearsing.
That's it. Jabba's on to us.
What?
Already?
Oh, no.
What should we do?
Well, there's not much we can do, is there, Tetten?
I guess we have to go through with it.
Well, we pretty much knew there'd be no turning back.
Not until we've collected our 3,000 credits, anyway.
Right.
So, let's give it everything we've got, Biff. Play like there's no tomorrow.
And let's keep our ears open all the time.
All right, I guess...
I'd already spotted two turbo lifts, a kitchen entry, the main entry, and a small circular hatch at the rear of the room that must have once been an emergency airlock. Lady Val's staff was now busy laying out food on a row of garland-bedecked banquet tables directly in front of the stage. Beyond the big tables lay a dozen little ones. I could see Figrin's mouth folds begin to twitch. If the wedding guest started playing Sabacc, it would be impossible to get him out of there without a struggle. A cheer erupted in the lounge.
That's it. They must be married.
Beings streamed into the cafe.
A one, a two, a one, a two, three, four.
Figrin swung right into our opening number. Before we had played four bars, I had begun to sweat. Not from the heat. Several of Jabba's toughs had ridden that wave into the cafe. Doubtless some of the bagmen that Thwim had been talking to me about. Perhaps they had been in town all night and hadn't heard about our defection, because they seemed not to notice us at all. I looked around the room to see who was on security. The Kubaz was nowhere in sight. There were a number of service droids in orange livery next to the front door. E-5-2-2 stood by the round hatch, gleaming blasters and needlers retrofitted for the occasion, and a shiny new restraining bolt dead center on his massive chest. Evidently, Lady Val trusted droids so far and no further. The room had filled up, and I began to think that things would be okay. Just then, a young human tottered up to our stage.
Do you do requests?
He was well-dressed, in clean, unpatched clothing and a slouch hat.
Legends of Aquana.
He tugged at Figrin's pant leg where it was gathered above his boot.
Hands off.
Figrin pulled his leg free. The human turned to me.
You know how to play Tears of Aquana?
Sure, no problem. Nalen?
On you.
I took a fast breath and hit my entrance at the top. Tears had been made popular in the last days of the Republic by a Bithian macro singer named Diana Dell. Its origins go much further back than that, however, and I don't think there's a band across the entire galaxy that couldn't stumble through it. We had no idea that a local gang had adopted it as the melody for their official song.
Hey.
days of old, we sang our songs around the vaporator. The nights were cold, our throats were dry, but we could worry later. The nights were cold, our throats were dry, but we could worry later.
The slouch and several friends huddled at the foot of the stage and caterwauled lyrics that they had obviously invented. Several other humans lurched toward the stage, glaring.
What is this?
The times we spent, the drinks we shared, along the winding amber.
I elbowed Figren. He took an unorthodox cut to the coda. We finished playing before the gang finished singing. Several of them remained close by, glowering at us. A newcomer, a darkly tanned female, shoved a non-singing bystander aside.
No play worm case. For Fixer and Cammy.
I love you, Cammy!
Figren?
Got it.
We have a great six-bar intro to Worm Case. Figren cut it to four. When you've played a piece 600 times from memory, you can easily lose track of where you are during the 601st. This time through, it became a crazy game of cut and patch. I don't remember having so much fun with that moldy old jump tune. Fortunately, this group didn't try to sing. While we played, I rechecked Jabba's tufts. They gathered near the bar, just killing time. For now. Then I noticed that they were talking to Thwim, Lady Valerian's Kubaz security guard. He had traded his green cape for a formal suit which made him look like a stuffed shirt. As if they could feel me watching them, the group turned and looked at us. I could feel the sweat begin to gather on my forehead. Presently, they resumed their talk. We wound up Worm Case and took a bow.
Thank you, thank you. We'll be right back.
All right, Biff, 5 minutes, right?
Sure.
Is that enough, Figren? Only 5 minutes at the Sabacc table before I pull you away?
All right, 10 minutes then.
Have they started gambling again?
I'm going back to the Uvide wheel.
What about you, Doink?
I'll wait here. Stay out of trouble, okay?
You are such...
Yeah, I know, I'm thermal. Just like to get out of here alive is all.
Hey, Fizz. Are you dry?
Huh?
I was listening to you fellows play. I figured you must be mighty dry.
Yeah, well, you're right about that.
One of the ugliest humans I'd ever seen, with a diagonal sneer for a mouth, had appeared next to the edge of the stage where I was sitting. He was carrying two mugs.
This one's Lum, that one's Wedding Punch.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
Despite my dislike of the stuff, I seized the mug of punch and downed half of it.
Not bad.
You're a pretty good band.
I'm pleased to hear you say it. I'm not sure everyone here would agree with you, but I...
What do they know? What are you doing here on Tatooine?
It's a good question. We've played the best palladiums in six systems.
I believe it. You're excellent. But you haven't answered my question.
My plug ugly sat down on the edge of the reflective bandstand and stared out over the crowd. Watching his back, perhaps? He was probably a native.
You see the horn player over there?
I nodded toward Figren's gaming table.
Uh-huh.
That's our leader.
He's not half bad either.
Yeah, well, he's also a compulsive gambler. I thought we were just passing through, but Tatooine's a Sabacc player's heaven. I don't think we'll ever get out of here.
I see. We don't often get bands as good as you, even here in Mos Eisley. It's tough on us music lovers.
Do you play?
Nah, I tried, but I wasn't good enough. So now I do the next best thing.
What's that?
Ten bar. Name's Woor, by the way.
Pleased to meet you. I'm Doik. You work for Lady Valerian, then?
Not at all. I wouldn't mind, you understand. I hear she's a great boss.
I've heard that said. This is the first time we've played the Despot.
I work in a little club across town.
Is that so?
Nothing as fancy as this, but I do get to hear a lot of bands. Rough work, actually, but someone's got to keep the droids from taking over.
I hissed softly in a range humans find inaudible. droids improve life. I was getting ready to tell him as much when Ichabel and Tedden returned.
You don't know what you're missing, Doink. I just won 10 credits.
Congratulations. Why don't you go get Figrin? Oh. He's right over there. Well, I guess it's back to work.
Here, let me take that mug.
Thanks.
Keep your re wet, my friend.
I'll do that.
Who's your ugly friend?
His name's Woor, Tedden. Seemed like an all right guy, almost.
For a human.
Exactly. Hi, Nalen.
I could see Ichabel literally dragging Figrin back towards the stage. Figrin ought to make him manager, although he has his hands full just looking after Tedden.
Losing again, Figrin?
Oh, naturally. Shall we get back to work?
Fine. The sooner we'll get out of here, maybe.
I don't know about that, but give me an A.
Figrin plugged in his horn and we launched into our next set. At the table just below us, something changed hands with infinitesimal micron-per-minute movements. A typical Mos Eisley business deal. The room had really filled up and I could no longer see Thwim and his pals anywhere. That was no reassurance at all, and I began to perspire again right away. Something huge lumbered into view, and a cheer went up. It was the newlyweds, of course. Two gargantuan whippets, 2.5 meters of tusk and claw and pale yellow fur were lashed together with a garland of imported greenery and mastment bones. They danced together toward our stage with their long, furry arms draped around each other. We were on a stage, but their heads towered over us. Lord Duwop stared rapturously into the broad, leathery, tusk-bottomed face of his bride. Without seeing the surreptitious traders occupying the closest table, the lucky despot's owner and her professional hunter sank into empty chairs.
That's better.
You dance divinely, my darling Tush.
They started untwisting greenery and bones. I held my head at an angle that made it look like I was staring out over the dance floor. Actually, I was watching one of Jabba's tufts, an anemic, gray-skinned Duro I had spotted gliding in our direction. Alone. A trio of Papfaks twirled past, entwined in their own turquoise tentacles, in what looked like a pre- or post-nuptial embrace of their own.
Very good. Do you see that, my dear? Papfak lovebirds.
Yes.
Aren't they just like us?
The Papfaks nearly tripped over a mouse droid wheeling toward Lady Val.
You will excuse me, won't you, my dearest?
Of course. I'll be right here.
Seeing the droid, Lady Val finished extricating herself from her garland and got to her feet. With a fond pat on Lord Dwop's lumpy head, she followed the tiny droid toward her kitchens. The Duro's red eyes lit up. As soon as Lady Val was out of earshot, he approached Lord Dwop and bowed.
Good hunting, Mickey. Explain that remark, Duro, or I shall serve your roasted ribs to my lady for breakfast. You are hurt.
Dwarf's massive paw, still dangling a strand of wedding greenery, closed tightly on the Duro's arm.
I do not signify nothing, mate. I am addressing you, Dwarf Hunter of Great Bikita, am I not?
I am here. Is there someone you want splashed, Duro?
Lovely bride offered any game yet?
Lord Dwop finished divesting himself of his garland, while the Duro pulled up a chair and sat down. I just kept playing and listening.
What is your point, Duro?
There is a bigger boss on Tatooine, an excellent one. Lady Valerian pays him protection money. You're perhaps aware?
Indeed. You are referring to this Jabba the Hutt, are you not?
I am.
What has this got to do with hunting?
A wizard who truly loves the hunt doesn't settle for small bait.
Are you implying that Crate Dragon is unworthy to be
my
hunt?
Employer has just offered record bounty.
Bounty? Why, I am
not... Lord, in your position, you're probably not looking for work, but opportunities like this come rarely.
I see. So, is it a fierce quarry?
His name is Han Solo.
So the Tufts were baiting Lady Val through her bridegroom. Goggle-eyed, I hit a string of offbeats and reminded myself that Jabba had plenty of time to come for us.
He's a small-time smuggler, but he made the boss big-time angry. Jabba has many more enemies as well, reputable. May I sponsor you to the mighty Jabba?
The Duro's red eyes blinked, and the Whippet's leathery nose twitched.
Tell your employer that Dwop will bring in the corpse. I shall meet him then.
But aren't you staying for the celebration?
Later. My mate and I shall celebrate my glorious return. She is Whippet. She will understand.
Lady Val emerged from the kitchen as Lord Dwop headed off across the dance floor. Jabba's Duro rose quickly and melted back into the crowd like an ice cube on a sand dune. I held my breath.
Where are you going?
I am called to the hunt, my dearest. I shall return.
You can't leave now. What about our guests?
Figrin had led us into a new piece, Dome World Lament, which I didn't know so well. I had to concentrate. Suddenly, everyone in the room turned toward the center of the dance floor, where the loving couple were now locked in a not-so-loving embrace.
Nonsense! First time you're boxed!
You're not!
The crowd surged against the bandstand. I moved back from the edge of the stage and almost tripped over the Omnibox. Figrin missed tripping over Icabel's fanfare by a hair. While Lady Valerian and Lord Dwop went at it tooth and claw in the center of the room, the crowd of onlookers grew aroused. Mos Eisley being what it is, and with Jabba's allies numerous in the room, this brawl would spread like a sandstorm. I took advantage of a 5-beat rest and blurted out the danger signal.
Sundown! Sundown, Figrin!
But I'm still behind! We can't leave yet!
The crowd parted and Lady Val came hurtling directly toward the bandstand. Her course was slowed just a bit by a line of wedding guests who had sought refuge under the edge of the stage. Regaining her balance, she dragged three of them with her back into the multicolored melee. Lord Dwop signaled to a couple of young Whippets who had been waiting for this. Then Jabba's Tufts, sensing that the moment was right, began breaking furniture just for the fun of it.
End of set. Thank you very much. Come on, Biff, let's get out of here.
Tech, wide awake for once, was breaking down the Omni. I couldn't find my fizz case anywhere.
Everybody stay where you are.
Glancing around, I spotted white armor by the front door.
Stormtroopers! What the hell? Sure looks like
don't move anywhere.
All of the Lucky Despot's Sabacc tables shut down simultaneously, but the gang at the Ubi table got caught with its wheels spinning.
Get back, you.
This time, obviously, Jabba hadn't tipped off Lady Val about the impending raid. I'd even have bet he sent the stormtroopers himself, but I don't gamble. Finally, Naylan finished packing up the band fill.
Ready. Back door. Come on.
Don't move anyone.
Figrin leaped off the stage, barely missing a bulky human's murderous backswing. We followed our fearless leader along the bulkhead, clutching our instruments to us. Then I spotted my friend Thwim, the Kubaz security man, bashing heads together.
Help us! We're unarmed!
His nose swiveled toward us. He leveled his blaster at our group and fired. Tedden dropped the fanfare case and clutched his arm.
But I didn't do anything!
Get the instruments!
You get it, Figrin. We've got Tedden!
I grabbed Tedden's unwounded arm and pulled him closer to the rear hatch, mentally promising anything and everything to any deity listening. If only I could escape with my fingers unbroken and my uncased fizz undamaged.
Ow! Hey, what is it?
Figrin stopped running so suddenly that we all ran into him. 10 meters ahead, right next to the hatchway, E-522 stood his post, calmly blasting every being that approached him. I glanced back. Imperial and unlicensed weapons were going off all over the place.
It's no use heading back. Here, you take them.
I'll be all right.
Doink! Get back here! He's been rearmed!
Well, I reminded myself, I've always had better luck with droids than with sentients.
Tuzu, old friend!
Just as I had figured, he still had his recognition circuits intact.
We need to get out, now!
Sure, I'll watch your backs. Be sure to shut the hatch behind you.
Why,
I held the hatch cranked open while Ichabel helped Tedden through. The Banfill and the Omnibox were a bit more difficult, but soon Naylan and Tech were through as well.
You next, Figrin!
Figrin ducked under my arm. As I turned to follow him, I noticed a squad of stormtroopers closing in on a group of humans who had retreated in our direction. The Slashmouth bartender was among them. I hesitated. If nothing else, I owed him for a sweet mug of punch.
Lore! Over here! E5, don't shoot that human!
Birch!
E5 may have recognized me, but he didn't take my orders. He pointed his needler straight at the bartender. Plug Ugly dropped to the floor. Surprisingly agile for such a big human.
I registered, Doink! Do a slide!
It sounded crazy, but I raised my uncased fizz and let out a squeal, pushing it even higher with all the breath I could muster. Somewhere along that slide, I must have hit the frequency control for E5's restraining bolt. The droid shut down.
Stinking droid! Thanks again, pal.
Come on, man.
We emerged on a narrow Duracrete ledge 3 stories up. The bartender leaned back, sandwiching my fizz between his gray-belted bulk and a pitted bulkhead.
Careful, that's my horn!
I glanced down. Figrin jumped off the foot of a precipitous escape ladder and dashed away, dodging filth and leaping over sand piles. An anvil-shaped Arcona head poked out of the hatch. Clutching my fizz, I backed down the ladder. The human almost stepped on my head in his hurry.
Come on, move!
The ladder swayed under his weight. I barely held on, wishing I had never met the guy. As more escapees piled on, the ladder's sway became a terrifying oscillation. I kept dropping.
Good going, Doink!
Once down, I spotted more stormtroopers trotting up the main ramp. Another hot morning in Mos Eisley.
Oof. Who's the human?
His name's War. He's a friend.
We've got to get out of here.
Are you okay, Ted? I'll be fine. You help Tech with the army.
Let's go!
Wooer headed off down the avenue away from the Lucky Despot. Ichabel and Tech set off after him. I grabbed one end of the Banfill, and Tedden hobbled along beside Naylan to my right. Figrin walked next to me. He clearly did not like this one bit.
What? Are we going to follow this guy just like that?
He's a fan, Figrin, and he's a pretty savvy one at that.
Yeah, well, without the credits from that job, how are we going to get off planet?
I have no idea.
3,000 credits gone.
Not only that, but Figrin here gambled away all our reserves, didn't you, Figrin?
I was just seeding the table.
Figrin?
I was going to win it all back.
The barman turned into a narrow alley without slowing down. Fortunately, Ichabel had his eyes open, because Tech didn't, of course. When we were all safely in the alley, Wooher stopped and waited for the rest of us to catch up.
Are you all doing okay?
Yeah, I think so.
You know, it's very kind of you to help us, Wooher, but we can't pay for so much as a bolt hole.
That's okay, I'll get you a job.
Huh? A job?
Yeah, making real music. You can do that, can't you?
Yeah, sure.
Well then, let's keep moving.
He led us up street and down alley. I followed, thinking.
I'll do anything. Shovel sand, polish bantha saddles. But I won't work for humans.
But his boss wasn't a human. The cantina's owner was a beige and gray Wookiee named Chalman. He offered us a 2-season contract.
Sounds good!
Figrin, no, that's too long! And it's too public.
Once we find a way off planet, the Wookiee can keep our severance pay. Just say yes.
Oh, all right.
We found crash space in Ruelia's insulated rooms. We emerge each night to play in the cantina where my only human friend, Wooher, tends bar. Han Solo beat Figrin at Sabacc yesterday, so he's still alive. But I heard that Lord Duwop was shipped home in pieces, so Lady Val is single again and looks to stay that way. And every time we tune up, I check the crowd. Just now I spotted Jabba's swivel-eared Rodian, Greedo. He's not bright, but he's armed. I'm watching him. You have been listening to We Don't Do Weddings, a dramatization of the short story by Kathy Tyers. This program was produced by David Rapkin and directed by Charles Potter. Mix directed by Lars Hoel. Dramatization by Charles Potter. Music from the Star Wars films by John Williams. Original music for this program by Rich DeRosa. Sound effects by Arthur Miller and Zed Starkovich. In the cast, you heard Lars Hoel, Russell Horton, Eddie Korbich, Danny Lewis, Regina Manfredi, Chris Phillips, Marcia Savella, Steve Winfield, and Gary Yudman. This is John Beach. Production copyright 1995, Lucasfilm Limited, all rights reserved. We hope you have enjoyed this dramatization of We Don't Do Weddings, The Band's Tale by Kathy Tyers. The original short story can be found in the collection Tales from the Mos Eisley Cantina, available wherever Bantam books are sold.